I'm good. How are you?
Oh, very well, very well. I've had enough turkey now to last a lifetime.
Are you?
Yeah.
I was just going to bring in a turkey sandwich.
He's getting to that
turkey
stage
curry
now.
Tonight,
Phil.
Turkey rissoles tomorrow, and then you know Christmas is over.
That's the one. That's the one. Phil, obviously, Boxing Day tradition, having the Rugby League friendlies, of course. And right, so you were down there at Leeds Rhinos against Wakefield over at Headingley, and it seemed like a bit of a cracking affair.
I think that in terms of what Boxing Day means from a playing point of view, it has lost a little bit of its relevance. But you can't argue when over 10,000 people turn up to watch a game. That's going to be one of the biggest crowds of the season in this part of the world. So there is obviously a public demand for it. But there is a question about what we're watching at the moment. And it is in the middle of pre-season for all clubs. And it does, I think the result is determined by the calibre of team that you do put out. Now, Wakefield fans will be really optimistic going into 2017 because I think they saw the germination of what their first team's going to be next year. They'd had a hit out the week before against Hull KR. The structures were there. They played virtually 1-7 of the backs that are going to start next season, although obviously there's a slight bit of competition for places because Sam Williams came in for this game. And I think, again, that's just what they need after last year. But they looked a really well-drilled side. And 30 points, 6 tries. I think, again, there was some lovely ball movement into the centres. There was an ability to promote the ball. This style that Chris Chester's brought with him of play with a smile on your face. I think all of that was evident on Boxing Day. And that's good for the Wakefield fans who bought new shirts in good number. The team looked absolutely resplendent in them. I think that general degree of optimism that 2016 bought for what were the Wildcats but no longer are now just Trinity. I think you could see why that had an effect last year. And it was, in fact, this Boxing Day game last year when they beat Leeds in the Weatherby Whaler Challenge that almost kicked in that season in 2016. Conversely, Leeds, on the other hand, probably a year to forget, and it ended in that manner as well. 6 times they got over the line but couldn't get the ball down. That was symptomatic of everything that was wrong with them last year, a distinct lack of creativity. But then, if we accept that the spine of a team is the fullback, the two halves, the hooker and the loose forward, I don't think there was anybody that was really in those starting positions who's going to play. They're also going to bring in a hooker. A couple of back rowers as well didn't play. So in terms of the respective teams as they've turned out, the fact that it's unlimited interchanges, full credit to Wakefield, go into the new year feeling justifiably optimistic. Leeds fans, there'll be still some head scratching, but don't read anything too much into the result. I think we can even transfer that to Castleford, who played a couple of hours later down the lane.
Yeah, that is very true indeed. I'll have a look at Castleford in a second as well, Phil. But just to keep there on Leeds Rhinos for a second, I think there were a couple of people on Twitter that were a little bit worried losing the likes of Sagiaro, of course, earlier on before the start of the season. And have they really managed to replace some of the big hitters? Not even just from this season, but the season before. Do you think that, you know, it might be another season of peril for the Leeds Rhinos? Or have I looked too far into it already, Phil?
I think people are reading too much into it. They're taking that on one game on Boxing Day where the bulk of the guys who will start weren't there. And certainly Matt Parcell at hooker, they've made a great signing. He's going to be one of the quickest out of dummy half. And obviously, he hasn't even arrived yet. It'll be early January when he does. Danny Maguire and Rob Burrow, both, certainly Maguire injury affected last year. They were saved over the Christmas period, but they're going to be in the starting halfbacks. I would expect Liam Sutcliffe to move back to fullback. He will share the role with Ashton Golden, I think. You've got Stevie Ward to come back in. Obviously, he'll be like a new player next year, a loose forward. Jamie Jones for Buchanan was serving a one-match suspension. And Carl Ablett, although he captained the side, played in the centre, and he won't be doing that. So I think, again, it's too easy to read too much into Boxing Day games when there's very few players who play in the position that I think they're going to play in next season. Leeds do need a bit more spark about them. They certainly need to score more points. But I think what people forget when they looked at the injury situation, even the age of the halfbacks, is that 2015, when they won everything, Danny Maguire was the player of the year. He was just unfortunate with injuries last year. And the last season, when things didn't go for them, it was Rob Burrow who was the player of the year. So again, you've got those two to come back, and all the experience they bring. There was a look at Corey Aston, but again, you can't really judge on a 20-minute cameo performance when players are coming on and going off. Jordan Lilley as well started at hooker, which he won't be doing this season. So, yeah, it'd be very easy to get despondent about losing at home on Boxing Day, but I think we need to judge this result probably halfway through next season.
Yeah, that is very true indeed. And elsewhere, Casper Tigers taking on Hull FC, running out 42 points against them on the day, and looks like a very nice Castleford performance. But I think there are some expectations for Cass this season. Of course, Zach Hardacre coming in, filling the position there for Luke Dawn. It could be a good season over at the Menderos Jungle this season, Phil.
I think the important thing was integrating some of their new players, and the fact that Hardacre and Eden were on the score sheet will be massively important for Cass. I think that's, again, an indication of the style they're going to play is not going to be compromised by losing Luke Dawn. And it is about confidence, and they seem to have it in abundance. They were annoyed last year that injuries wrecked their chances of getting in the top four. I think there's a genuine renewed belief that that's where they can stage their fight this year. And I think on the basis of that, they can. Again, you'd look at Hull and say, well, you know, fabulous year for them last year, picking up the Challenge Cup, and they want to kick on and have made no secret of the fact that they're looking now to grand final glory rather than necessarily a one-off in the Cup. But I think they only have seven players who they could realistically say are going to form possibly even part of their 17 or their matchday squad for next year. There was a lot of experimentation with some of the kids that are coming through. And I think listening to Lee Radford afterwards, he was saying he was quite impressed with some of the youngsters laying down a marker, but also for them, I think they realise on Boxing Day how far they've got to go to make the first team. So both teams got benefits from it. I'm just not sure anymore what relevance Boxing Day has as a fixture, other than, as we keep saying, if fans want to watch it, we've got to play them.
Yeah, that is very true, and I have to say as well, for when I look at the Boxing Day fixtures, it seems something usually totally dominated by the football. Good to see that Rugby League can still bring in these great games on Boxing Day, and I suppose it does give us a little bit of a taste looking ahead to 2017 now. I seem more eager than ever after some of the Boxing Day fixtures that were happening.
Well, 2017 is a very, very long year this year. The series friendlies will kick in around the middle of January. There'll be some testimonial matches where full teams will be put out. Then we've got the start of the season at the beginning of February, leading on, hopefully, to England appearing in the World Cup final on the 3rd of December. That's a very, very long 11 months. Some players are going to be absolutely exhausted, and resources are going to have to be used and spared. But I think what it does show is that even though the seasons would have been, what, less than a month since we saw the Four Nations final at Anfield, people cannot get enough of their rugby league, particularly over the festive period. And it's certainly the fact that Leeds and Wakefield kicks off at 11:30 and games at Headingley always have. That level of tradition, it's just something that people love. I think an 11:30 kick-off's perfect as well, because you can get over the excesses of your Christmas day, you can go and have a bit of fresh air, you can shout and show off your new Christmas jumper, and you can still be home in time for a turkey sandwich.
Absolutely sorted. You can't go wrong with that. And Phil, I just wanted to ask you as well, obviously, about everything that's happened with Wayne Bennett's Dubai training camp. It seems to be a bit of an absolute disaster from what's having it in the first place, and then falling out with the Super League coaches, Wayne Bennett not being there. It just seems a bit farcical, to be fair, Phil.
I think if there was a charge for bringing the game into disrepute, it would have to be levelled at, I think, some of the administrators that thought this could go ahead without taking into account the wishes of the coaches and, to some extent, the players. It always seemed to be a flawed idea unless all the best players could go, and that would have included guys who play in the NRL, and that was never going to happen in January. I think, again, the choice of Dubai, not brilliant. There's been issues with Rugby League not being allowed to be played in that part of the world. So I think wherever you looked at it, it was a flawed concept. And I think the thing that would worry me more than anything is that you don't announce you're doing something and then hope people buy into it. You get the buy-in before you announce it. And that's where I think perhaps we've gone wrong. And the publicity it's brought for the sport hasn't been great. I think somebody at Red Bull seriously needs to look at why they went down that road of announcing it in the way they did and organising it in the way they did. And somebody should stand up and be accountable for this, because I think the word farce is not too far from being the absolute truth, to be honest.
Yeah, you are right there, Phil, but I certainly am looking forward to the Rugby League action of 2017. And as always, it's an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Daytimes today.
No problem, any time at all.
Thanks very much there. Phil Kaplan, editor of 4020 magazine. And remember, for all your latest Rugby League news, make sure you're listening to the All Sports Show every Monday. Also having a look at everything, because as you said, it's never a quiet time in the world of Rugby League.